In a little while, I'd like to show you a clip from the end of Toy Story 3, just to sort of bring you up to speed if you're not aware of what it's all about. It's a set of three films. Basically, it's over a period of about, I don't know, 10, 12 years with the three films. And essentially, it's about a young lad called Andy and his toys, which, as sometimes happens in these sorts of films, when people aren't about, the toys come to life, okay? And it works its way through his life until it gets to Toy Story 3 and he's growing into a young man and he's about to leave home and go to college. And at the end of the film, there's this clip. Stephen, could you run it for us, please?
Care of these guys. They mean a lot to me.
My cowboy!
Woody? What's he doing in there?
You're the snake in my boot.
What?
There's a snake in my boot!
Woody, he's been my pal for as long as I can remember. He's brave, like a cowboy should be, and kind and smart. But the thing that makes Woody special is he'll never give up on you. Ever. He'll be there for you, no matter what. You think you can take care of him for me? Okay, then. Oh, no! Dr. Porkchop's attacking the haunted bakery!
Pew, pew, pew! The ghosts are getting away! Woody, stop them!
Buzz Lightyear, the rescue!
Andy there was somebody who went through what so many of us have gone through growing up. And as he's growing up, he's leaving behind things of the past, things that meant an awful lot to him. And you saw the moment, didn't you, when he got in the car and he teared up and, thanks guys. It's a story about growing up and moving on. It's a story of outgrowing something and leaving things behind. As we begin life, initially we are totally dependent. We're carried everywhere. We're unable to do very, very simple things for ourselves. But we're meant to grow and develop. We see children grow and suddenly acquire skills and be able to do things that we take for granted but are completely new to them. And one of the aims of parents is that our children will grow and be able to be independent, be able to do things for themselves, be able to look after themselves. And independence is valued and aimed for. And independence so often is seen as being a priority. We've got to be able to stand on our own two feet. And the idea is that just as Andy outgrew his old toys, even his most favourite toy, Woody, so we should outgrow things and to some extent outgrow dependence. Problem is that as we go along life, illness and age itself can bring us up very short and show us that we aren't quite as independent as we'd like to think we are. We can use so often independence as a measure of our fitness for society. And if you don't measure up, you don't get the respect. So often we can look down on people who physically or mentally, for whatever cause, are unable to live independently. And that's a phrase that's often used, unable to live independently. People say, oh, well, they'll always be dependent on others. And you can be regarded as inadequate because of your dependence. It's even put forward as a reason for abortion. They will be unable to live independently. If we don't measure, we're considered inadequate. Now, there's no doubt that we need to grow and mature. We have natural growth. And obviously, there's the old joke where the boy says to the mum, Mum, what will I be when I grow up? His mum turns around to him and says, well, you're a man, you'll never grow up. The idea being that there's still that little boy inside. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul himself said this, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. I've got a friend whose son had a serious head injury, so serious he nearly died from it. And his comment about his son was this, on the outside, he looks grown up. He says, but inside, he's like a child. He has so many abilities that you take for granted with a grown up. But when it comes to thinking things through, when it comes to assessing consequences of actions, he doesn't. There was one time when it worried my friend greatly because he got a phone call from his son saying, I'm off out for a walk on the moors. He looked at his watch, and this is in winter. He says it's 3 o'clock. He says in another hour it's going to be pitch black and he's going to be out there in the middle of nowhere. And he had to go chasing off to try and locate his son because heaven knows where he would have ended up. He was just going for a walk. He struggles with independent living because he doesn't have that now maturity. He did have before the head injury, but now that's all changed. To grow and mature means to take responsibility for ourselves, for our actions, to think ahead, not just about the now. It's a natural progression. It's a normal development. It's something that we expect and for others and ourselves as well. As we grow, we change. Our values change. Things that we thought were tremendous, like Woody the toy, suddenly it's not as tremendous as we thought they were. Our ideas change. We develop and we leave some things behind. But we need great care about what we do leave behind. It's expected that as Christians we will grow. It's expected that as Christians we will develop and mature in the faith. It's expected that we will have a wiser understanding of God. In Ephesians 4:11-15, this is what Paul says. He said, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." That is God's aim for each one of us, that we grow, that we develop, that we are part of this developing body, that we take our part in the developing body, and that as we develop as a body, God's kingdom grows. The sort of natural progression is expected there as well. We're expected not to be infants, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, as Paul puts it. God's desire is that we grow in faith. Our faith itself develops. Our amount of trust in him will grow and develop. And in Hebrews, we see the rebuke when that doesn't happen. In Hebrews 5:11-14, this is what it says. "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." Sometimes Stephen and Stacey wonder if Esther will ever leave milk alone. Well, actually, she might not. She might be somebody who loves milk throughout their life. But the idea is that you develop in your taste for solid food. And the idea is that as Christians, we grow in our development and understanding of the word and our desire for the truth. God's idea is that we grow up. God's idea is not that we grow away. With regards to independence, we need to take care. We must grow, we must develop, we must mature. But independence can be something that is overdone. You know, there is none of us, anybody, anywhere, who is totally independent. The universe we live in, that we take for granted, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that it is upheld by God's powerful word. Each moment of this whole vast universe that we see is held together by his word and maintained by his word. It tells us in Peter, quoting Isaiah, about him rolling it up. He's in control of everything. Psalm 104 talks about God being in command of the very breath of the animals that are there, and by implication, us too as well. Our next breath cannot be taken for granted, but we are totally dependent on God for it. Psalm 2 talks about God's overwhelming control of events. He will have his way. To try to be independent can be dangerous, especially in a spiritual sense. John chapter 15:1-8 says this. Jesus speaking, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Remain in me as I remain in you. Sometimes we have the wrong analogy. Jesus corrects it here and says, look, you're like branches of a vine. You are totally dependent on me. The branch cannot exist by itself. Cut it off from the tree trunk and it will wither and die because its source of supply is severed. Without being attached to the vine, there is no life and there is no fruit. Jesus says, remain in me The Message version translates that as "make your home in me," which is a very good translation. The Greek word there is meno. It means making yourself at home and staying there. The idea of come on in, kick off your shoes, kick back, settle down, relax in comfort and stay. Our dependence is something that we have to understand, because without it, there is no survival. When Jesus was there with his disciples and he gave them some difficult things to understand, it says many left him. He turned around to the disciples and he says, "Are you going to leave me as well?" And what did Peter say? "Where else can we go? You've got the words of eternal life." We are dependent on him. And that dependence needs to develop, not weaken, but strengthen, because we acknowledge the truth and we rely on that. We need to remain in him. We need to relax in him, settle ourselves in him, be seated in him, and rely on him. As we said this morning, he's faithful and he will not let us down. We need to remain. To remain is to survive. To remain is to thrive. To remain is to be fruitful and reproduce. Luke 15 gives us three parables. It tells about the lost sheep, the independent sheep. Off it went on its own, away from the flock. When we were on holiday, there was part of the place where we were staying where you went over cattle grids, and the sheep were not held in pens, they were on the moor. The cattle grids were there to stop them getting too far. The idea being that they could wander wherever they want, but within boundaries. And we're listening to someone who's a shepherdess up in North Yorkshire. And she was saying, some of the things the sheep do are incredible. She says, they don't take a running leap at the cattle grid and sort of clear it. She says, but I have seen one sort of jump up, land in the middle, and then the others use it as a stepping stone to get out. How independent are we? Are we content where God has set us? Or do we see the greener grass somewhere else? God wants us to remain. He wants us to be in him. Luke 15 also tells us about an independent son who struck out on his own. He didn't want to remain at home any longer. He wanted to go his own way, to have his own destiny in his own hands, until he came to his senses and returned. We need to remain and grow closer to God, understanding our dependence, embrace it, and develop in it. We need to understand that we are reliant on God for so much. But as we depend on him, we will indeed thrive. As we grow, we don't become less dependent on God. As we grow, we realize just how dependent we really are. We also have a dependence on each other. Paul uses different analogies. The idea of the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about looking down on one part and saying, well, I don't need you because I'm this particular bit. And he says, that's foolish. The body needs all the bits it's got. You're there for a reason. And each one of us has been placed here for a reason by God. But we depend on each other for our survival and for our thriving as well. The body supports itself. The body helps itself, each and every part of it. He uses the idea of a building. Well, apart from the bit that sunk down first, the foundation, we're told that that is Christ himself. Every other bit is built on something else. And the building is reliable, while ever it's dependent on its other members. We need each other. We are desperately aware I hope, of the fact that we need each other. None can be done away with. James warns about looking on the outside, judging accordingly, and putting people down as a result of that. No matter how great, strong, able, experienced we are, we still need each other. We're reliant on each other because we're part of the same construction. Even those that we might look upon and dismiss them. We must not dismiss each other. We need to embrace each other, work with, uphold, support, strengthen, and at times carry each other. Because if we don't, we suffer loss personally and as a body. We look on those who are poorer, who are more damaged, less effective, but each and every one has been set in place and is needed. No matter how we view them, everyone is valued and needful. We are not independent, we are dependent. And part of the growth and maturity is to realise just how dependent we are on each other. Let us grow, let us develop, let us mature, but let us leave behind those things that would hamper. Let us recognise our dependence on the Lord and each other, embrace that, and grow in our reliance on each other and on Him. The fact of the matter is, our lives might not be a toy story, but our lives are His story.